last book of Old Testament, Malachi, chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, and some key verses, 2, 17, 3, 1, and chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. An oracle, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. But Esau I have hated, and I have turned his mountains into wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. You will see with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord even beyond the borders of Israel. You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. Now implore God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hands. Will you accept you, says the Lord Almighty. My name will be great among the nations from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. And you say, what a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, crippled, and diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Together, you have wearied the Lord with your words. How have you wearied him, you ask, by saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them, or where is the God of justice? 3:1 together. See, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, and messenger of the covenants whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Okay, last chapter. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn to the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Amen. This is the last book of the Old Testament, but we cannot finish the study of Old Testament just joyfully. You know, last chapter, last verse, last word, finish with a word curse, a warning of curse. Last sentence, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. This is a warning. This is a burden, big burden. Let me read one more time. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Remember, Old Testament finished with a warning burden of a curse. A New Testament's revelation finished in Jesus Christ. No more curse. Amen. Okay, today we are at the last book of the Old Testament. First of all, I give thanks to God through his guidance. Also, I give thanks to you for your being with me in this Old Testament journey. God bless you. Sherry, bless your neighbors, your next, saying God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. We know Bible, Old Testament is not arranged in chronological order. But this book, Malachi, is last book of the Old Testament, but also last book chronologically. Malachi's name appears in the whole Bible only one time. Here, chapter 1, verse 1, in his self-introduction. Then the name Malachi means my messenger, my angel, or a messenger of the Lord. Yes, a prophet is a kind of a messenger of the Lord. Then we know almost nothing about person Malachi. Even his father's name is unknown. Then one thing we know about him through his message is Malachi, a later contemporary of Nehemiah, you know, Nehemiah. So this time to see where Nehemiah and Malachi were in the history of Old Testament, let me say one more time some history of Israel, what we know already. Southern kingdom, Judah was destroyed by Babylonia in 586 BC. Then after Babylonian captivity, God gave a promise to them through the prophet Jeremiah. They will return from Babylon to Jerusalem. Then there were three returns to Jerusalem from Babylon. First return, we heard many, many times. First return was done by the leadership of Zerubbabel in 538 or 7. Their main mission was to rebuild the temple, destroy the temple. And second return was done by the leadership of Ezra in 457. Their main mission was to rebuild people's social, mental, moral, spiritual state. And then third return was done under the leadership of Nehemiah in BC 444. Their main mission was to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. So the first and the second return story is written in the book Ezra. And third return story is written in the book Nehemiah. So at the time of Nehemiah, one time, very short time, they experienced the temple rebuilt, the wall reconstructed, people revived, and social system reconformed, and worship service resumed, resurrected. But sadly, as time passed, very soon later, they felt fall down again. They went away from the presence of God. They stumbled in sin. They backslided, you know, backslided. They slided back. You know, today's sermon title is what? Today's sermon title is warning to the backsliders. In this situation, the prophet Malachi directs his message of judgment to the people plagued with corrupt priests, wicked practices, false sense of security in their privileged relationship with God, using questions and answer method, he studied. He proves deeply into their problems of unfaithfulness, wickedness, infidelity, wrong worship service, arrogance, and pride. Honestly speaking, preparing the sermon from the book Malachi in the last book of Old Testament, I felt a burden. You know why? To be faithful to the original message of this book, Malachi, I have no choice but to give you a what? A warning, burden. So I cannot escape from giving you, also including me, a warning, burden. Are you ready to receive warning or a burden? Is warning blessing or a curse? Good news or a bad news? It's both. Imagine if there is an earthquake, typhoon, tornado, hurricane tomorrow, today's warning is very, very helpful. But tomorrow's warning is too late. Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, everything that is written in the Bible, including Old Testament, including Malachi, everything that is written in the past was written to teach us lesson, to give us lesson, so that through the endurance, patience, encouragement of the scriptures, we may have hope. We may have hope. And 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, that's why examine yourselves, test yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Of course, unless you fail the test. Shall we see chapter 1, verse 1? Chapter 1, verse 1 starts, "An oracle," our version, New International Version, NIV, "an oracle, the words of the Lord to Israel through Malachi." Actually, oracle means divine warning, divine burden. So King James Version says this same sentence. King James Version, the burden of the words of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. What we must know is this burden, this warning is not given to Gentiles, but given to Israel, his chosen people, his elected people, special people, but who slided back, who went away from the presence of God. So that's why God challenged them continually, please return to me, and then I will return to you. So from this short book, at least, yes, about the characteristics of the backsliders, we can say some things, many things. But this morning, I want to be very, very faithful to the original message of this book. According to, based on this book, I want to share with you only three characteristics of the backsliders. So, listening to this message from this book, Malachi, please continually, at the same time, test yourself. Examine yourself, also including me. I need to test myself, even though I'm a pastor. I need to test myself. I need to examine myself continually in the presence of God. After receiving this burden, if you feel burdened, it means you are normal. You are still healthy. Still we have hope. Okay, let us share three characteristics of the backsliders according to the message of this book. Number one, first characteristic of backslider is they doubt God's love. They doubt God's love. They do not believe God loves them absolutely, unconditionally, sovereignly. Honestly speaking, before God, do you believe God loves you all the time, independently, sovereignly, absolutely, and unconditionally? Do you believe? You know, verse 2 starts, I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? And then the Lord Almighty says, yes, I have loved Jacob. Jacob means you, Israel, chosen people. You know, it looks very strange, outwardly. God says, I have loved you, but I have hated Esau. What does this mean? God hates nobody. God never hates anybody. We know very clearly God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God wants all to be saved. God wants nobody shall perish. Then this sentence, what does this mean through this sentence? God loves you, especially, but God hates somebody else. For example, we know Jesus saying, someday Jesus says, if somebody comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What does this mean? This does not mean you must hate your family members to become Jesus' disciple. But this means you must put Jesus first before anyone else, including your parents, your wife, in your priority to become Jesus' true, real disciple. Like this sentence, I love you, but I hate somebody else, does not mean God loves favoritism. God shows partiality. But it means God's love for us is absolute love, sovereign love, unconditional love, independence love. This same sentence is quoted and explained in Romans, Romans chapter 9, verse 13. Shall we open Romans chapter 9, verse 13 to 16. This same sentence, I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. This same sentence is quoted and explained by Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, verse 13 to 16. If you open your Bible, can you read together? Romans 9, 13, 16. Ready, go. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Please know that God does not love you because of what you have done. Why? If God loves you because of what you have done, God's love for you and me is very, very changeable. Why? Because our action is very changeable. But because God loves you and me because of his mercy, his love is unchangeable because his mercy is unchangeable. This same book, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, the Almighty God says, I, the Lord, do not change. Chapter 3, verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. Shall we read only first sentence? I, the Lord, do not change. Okay. I, the Lord, do not change. Jesus says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. God demonstrated his own love for us. In this while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Please don't forget all the time God loves us absolutely, sovereignly, independently, not dependently. Amen? That's why we can put our hope only in God now and forever. If you doubt God's love, it is the sign of our backsliding, our going away from God. This is first characteristic of backsliders. Okay, second, number two. Number two, the characteristic of backsliders is lack of basic characteristics in showing Christian faith. Do you have a Christian faith in your heart? Amen? Do you have a faith in Jesus Christ, in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit? Our faith is invisible, unseen. And our unseen faith should be proved by something. Seen, visible. The second characteristic of backslider is lack of basic, not high level, basic responsibilities in showing our Christian faith. Shall you see the text? You know, chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I, who is I? God. If I'm a father, where is the honor due me? If I'm a master, if I'm your Lord, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. Verse 8, when you bring blind animals, crippled animals, diseased animals, wounded animals, injured animals for sacrifice, should I accept them from your hands? Verse 10 says, God says, I would rather shut the door of temple. God is extremely angry. God is so angry. Chapter 2, verse 3 says, I shall spread the dung on your face. Do you know the dung offer? Emotional, it means with their service, with their worship attitudes, God is emotionally very, very angry. I will spread the dung on your face. It means one of Korean versions says, 내가 네 얼굴에 똥칠을 하고 싶다. Can you follow me? Sarah explained later what does this mean. 내가 네 얼굴에 똥칠을 하고 싶다. One of Korean versions say like this. Means with their sermon attitude, God is emotionally extremely angry. God has emotion. God has feeling because God is person. God is a person. With this message, with this judgment message, we should examine. We should test our basic attitude towards our worship service, honestly, in the presence of God. Suppose you are school teachers. Then your student is absent in your class, and present, absent, present. His presence or absence is very, very irregular, very, very unpredictable. Can you be pleased with him? Can you call him good student? Can you give him A+? If he is late many, many times, and if he appears in the middle of class and sometimes disappears in the middle of class without a word, can you be happy? Can you be pleased with your that student? Can you give him A+? Can you call him you are good student? Imagine if you have appointments to meet with the governor, human governor. This Bible says, if you have appointments to meet with the human governor, Jeonju mayor, Jeollanamdo congressman, will you be late or on time? Maybe you will appear earlier and wait for him. Maybe some of you may say, yes, sometimes irregular attendance to church is better than never coming to church. Yes, late is better than absence. Maybe it can be true according to specific conditions. But we must know that according to this message of Malachi, never coming to church makes God sad, because it means he does not know there is a God. But sometimes irregular coming to church or being late makes God angry, because it means he knows there is a God, but he despises God. He ignores God. He neglects God. This is the very, very strong message from this book, Malachi. And last, third characteristic of backslider is, also third characteristic backslider is very, very simple and very, very clear, very, very challengeable, even today to us. This is not giving tithe, not giving tithe. Bible says, robbing me, but they ask, how have we robbed you? Then God answers, not giving tithes and offerings. Shall you see chapter 3, verse from verse 8 to 9. Same book, Malachi, chapter 3, verse 8 to 9. Okay, let us read together. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithe and offerings. You are on the curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. You know, God calls him robber. On the curse, who does not give tithe? You know, robber is worse than thief. Is that true? Native speaker, is that true? Robber is worse than thief. God's expression is too strong. Tithe, according to biblical teaching, tithe is the seed for next sowing and reaping. Yes, we know very easily, no matter how poor a farmer may be, he does not eat that seed, but he keeps the seed for future sowing, reaping for future harvest. Please know that giving tithes is not a matter of how much we have, but a matter of how much we trust in God. Giving tithes is not a matter of wealth or poverty, but a matter of how we trust in God or trust in money. That's why the Bible says, we cannot serve God and money, but we can serve God with money. You know, giving tithes is a personal, individual faith confession that everything I have is from God, for God, by God. And apart from you, I can do nothing. And expecting his continual and faithful provision and blessing. You know, Psalm chapter 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds his house building, his builder labors in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, his watchmen stand guard in vain. Please, we must know that apart from God's provision, apart from God's blessing, our labor, our efforts, our work, our energy, totally useless. You know, there is an interesting expression in the Bible. We are not allowed to test God. Bible says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. We should not test our Lord God. Amen? Then, interestingly, there is only one area in which we are allowed, we are encouraged, we are challenged to test God. That area is what area? Tithes area. You know, God the Almighty, encourage us, challenge us, and push us, test me with this, test me with tithes. And see whether I open the window, open the gate of heaven, and pour down so much blessing until you need no more. God challenges us. This is encouragement, not only encouragement, but also challenge. We must be clear in this matter, just between God and you yourself, not before pastor. Yes, somebody may say like this. Yes, that's true. But this is the story of Old Testament. Is that right? Yes, this is true. But this is asked in Old Testament. But I am not in the Old Testament. We are living in New Testament. In the Old Testament, they were under the law. But we are not under the law, but we are under what? Grace. Because we are in the New Testament. Yes, that's true. Because we are under grace. We are not under the law, but we are under grace. We are free. But we are free to do more. We are free to give more. It means if you and me, if we are really, really under grace, if we really, really know that we experience God's grace, we want to do more, much more for God. This is the message of the whole Bible. You know, Bible says, the Old Testament says, do not kill anybody. You are under the law, right? New Testament says, do not hate your brothers. Hating is the beginning of killing. You are under grace. Old Testament says, do not commit adultery. You are under the law. New Testament says, if you look at a woman, maybe man, lustfully, you commit adultery already in your mind, in your heart. Keep your heart pure while you are under grace. Old Testament says, love your neighbors. You are under the law. New Testament says, love your enemies, because you are under grace. Old Testament says, pay eye for eye, tooth for tooth, neck for neck. You are under the law. But New Testament says, bless those who persecute you. You are under grace. Old Testament says, give full tithe. You are under the law. New Testament says in Matthew chapter 23, give full tithe without neglecting mercy, faithfulness, justice, because you are under grace. Amen. And after giving this very, very serious warning, burden of this message, God had been silenced. God had kept silence about 400 years until he sent his one and only son. That's why this last book of Old Testament, Malachi, close with promise, with prophets to send Messiah's forerunner who will prepare his way. Who is the forerunner of Messiah? John the Baptist. after seeing this wonderful, beautiful, marvelous promise, prophecy, let us close the study of Old Testaments. Okay, chapter 3, verse 1. Shall we read together? Chapter. What is the literal meaning of Malachi? My messenger. Okay. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. Let us read together. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the covenants whom you desire. Will come, says the Lord Almighty. Okay. Matthew, this promise, this prophecy is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 10 to 14. Matthew chapter 11, verses 10 to 14. Ready? Are you ready? Ready, go. This is the one about whom it is written. It is written where? It is written in Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1. Continue. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than the John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men may hold of it for certain. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Okay, Malachi, one more time. Malachi 4:5. Ready, go. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. In this sentence, Elijah means John the Baptist. Okay. Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 17, verse 10 to 13. Four verses. Okay, ready, go. The disciples asked him, why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him is everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. Amen. Let us take individual time, even time is very short, during our prayer before God, honestly, let us examine ourselves. Let us test ourselves. My final closing the study of Old Testaments, my final encouragement to you and me is be thankful to God for the past, because of his grace. And be faithful to Christian's faith at present because of God's presence. And be hopeful in God for the future because of God's faithfulness. Thank you. Shall we pray? Oh, Lord God. Father God, we thank you for your words. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your book, Old Testament, all books, 39 books in the Old Testament. Also, we thank you for specific book this morning, this time, Malachi. Father God, we are encouraged by you, but we are at the same time challenged by you. We are warned by you. Father God, we have burden. But we thank you for this burden. This burden is not to destroy us, but to bless us, to raise us to life, to wonderful life, to glorious life. We believe everything that was written in the past, including Malachi, was written to teach us, to give us a lesson, to give us message, so that through our patience, encouragements, and faithfulness, and encouragements of scriptures, we may have hope. Father God, closing the study of Old Testament, help us to be thankful all the time to you for the past because of your grace. Help us to be faithful to our Christian faith at present because of your presence. Also, help us to have hope, put hope, our hope for future only in you because of your goodness, because of your faithfulness, because of your kindness and gentleness and wonderfulness in keeping your promise, in vindicating your children, your people in this world, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. All glory, all honor back to our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.